Earth, sky.
The most important thing that people need to know about human exploration of the planet Mars is that it's within our capability of doing it, and that if we do it, we will find out fundamental truths about the nature of life on Earth and throughout the universe, and we'll open up a new path to a wide-open human future without limits.
This is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science, and that was aerospace engineer and author Robert Zubrin. He's president and founder of the Mars Society, whose more than 4,000 members promote the human exploration and settlement of our neighboring planet, Mars. A new 15th anniversary edition of Zubrin's book, The Case for Mars, is out in late June 2011. Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke with Robert Zubrin about why people should go to Mars.
Now, why Mars? Why should humans go to Mars?
Well, there's really three reasons, for the science, for the challenge, and for the future. As far as the science is concerned, Mars is the planet that is closest to us that could have supported life in the past and may still do so in the present. And so by going to Mars and exploring those dried-up lakes and river valleys and drilling into the subsurface groundwater on Mars, looking for fossils, looking for microbial life that may yet persist, we'll be able to determine if life is a general phenomenon in the universe or is a phenomenon unique to the Earth. We'll discover if we're alone or not, because we now know that planets are plentiful in the galaxy, and if life evolves commonly wherever there is a planet with reasonable conditions, and any star has reasonable conditions at an appropriate distance, then life is common. And since the entire history of life on Earth is one of development from simpler forms to more complex forms, displaying greater capacities for activity and intelligence and ever more rapid evolution, if life is everywhere, it means intelligence is everywhere. It means we're not alone. This is something that thinking men and women have wondered about for thousands of years. It's worth going there to find out. The second reason is the challenge. I think that civilizations are like individuals. We grow when we're challenged. We stagnate when we're not. And a Humans to Mars program would be an embracing challenge for our society, particularly for our youth. It would say to every young person, learn your science and you can be an explorer of, or pioneer of new worlds. And out of that challenge, we get millions of scientists, engineers, inventors, doctors, medical researchers, technological entrepreneurs. These are the kinds of people that drive society forward. You might view it as a tremendously powerful investment in intellectual capital. And then finally, for the future, the Earth is not the only world. And if we go to Mars, we're beginning humanity's career as a multi-planet spacefaring species. And if we do this, then 500 years from now, there will be new branches of human civilization on Mars, and I believe on many worlds beyond. And when those people look back at our time, what will they consider of what we are doing today to be significant? What we did to make their civilization possible, okay? New worlds, new countries, new nations with new languages and new histories. That's what's important. So this is really the most important thing that our age will be remembered for.
Well, by your estimation, what would it take to set up a human base on Mars?
Well, we need to develop a heavy lift vehicle comparable to the Saturn V rockets that we had in the 1960s. And if we had such rockets, it would take two launches for each mission to Mars. The first sends a return vehicle to Mars with no one in it, and that goes and it lands on Mars and it runs a pump and sucks in the Martian air and actually processes that into propellant for the return trip using very well understood chemical engineering processes that's described in my book, The Case for Mars, how you would do this. And we've done it in the lab, and other people have. And then once that's done, then the second rocket shoots a habitat craft out to Mars with a crew in it. And they land near the Earth return vehicle. They use their habitat craft as their house while they're on Mars, as their exploration base. And at the end of a year and a half exploring Mars, they get in the Earth return vehicle and fly back to Earth. They leave the habitat on Mars. So each time you do this, you add another habitat to the base. And pretty soon you've got the beginning of the first human settlement on a new world. There's nothing in this that's fundamentally beyond our technology. And frankly, for people to go around moaning and groaning about you know, all the challenges, and certainly there are challenges, okay? But these challenges are not as great as those we faced in going to the moon in the 1960s, you know, starting with near zero space capability and experience, starting with a country that had not yet invented push-button telephones, and we made it to the moon. And here these people are talking about how hard this is and we can't do it and so forth. I mean, frankly, for us to say we can't do this today is saying we've become less than the kind of people we used to be. And that is something this country cannot afford.
And where would you say the world is right now in 2011 as far as making any kind of real progress in this in your plans for human exploration of the planet Mars?
Well, the only real progress that there's been in the past 15 years towards humans to Mars has come from the robotic program. We've sent a series of robotic probes to Mars, a Pathfinder, Mars Global Surveyor, Mars Odyssey, Spirit, Opportunity, the Mars Reconnaissance Observer, the Phoenix Lander. Now we're going to have the Mars Science Lab. These have returned mountains of data. We now know a lot more about Mars than we did in 1996 when the first edition of The Case for Mars came out. And, you know, at that time, people were saying, before we go to Mars, we should send more robotic probes. Well, we have. And we got the data that they wanted to get. So in that sense, there's been progress. But there's been no progress in building the flight systems that would actually take us to Mars. And there won't be any progress in building such flight systems until there's a decision to go to Mars. Then we'll build a flight system.
And maybe would you speak to kind of what's in it for people listening right now who are not scientists, who don't have any personal stake in this? What might it mean to open up Mars for exploration? Why would it be relevant for people listening right now?
Because it would give your children a terrific goal to develop their minds to be able to participate in such a project. The opportunity to have a chance to be an explorer of new worlds. Youth loves adventure. And humans to Mars would be the great adventure of our time. It will benefit society. You know, the number of science graduates in this country doubled during the Apollo period at every level, high school, college, PhD. And we're still benefiting from that increase in the number of science graduates. I mean, who were those 40-year-old techno geeks who built Silicon Valley in the 1990s? They were the 12-year-old little boy scientists of the 1960s who grew up launching rockets in the backyard. So these people have been the prime engine of our economic growth for the past several decades.
You've been listening to Robert Zubrin, founder and president of the Mars Society. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.